This is the night the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. God is good all the time. Oh, thank you, Master. Thank you, and thank you. And then thank you. Things are happening, you know. I'd like you to please turn to the book of Esther, chapter 9 and verse 18. But the Jews who were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day as well as on the 14th. And on the 15th of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled town celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting as a holiday for sending presents to one another. Sounds like Christmas, doesn't it? It was called the Feast of Purim, P-U-R-M. And the month of Adar is known as March. It would be our March. And verse 20. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far, who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly the 14 to 15 days of the month of Adar, as the days on which the Jews had rest from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them, and from mourning to holiday, that they should what? Make them days of feasting and joy, and sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun, as Mordecai had written to them, because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, in other words, a Nephilim, seed of it, the enemy of all Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them, and had cast pur, that is, the lot, to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot which Haman had devised against the Jews should return on his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. So they called these days Purim, after the name Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this matter, and what had happened to them, the Jews established and imposed it upon themselves and their descendants and all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to the written instructions and according to the prescribed time, that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, that these days of Purim should not fail, but to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. The queen, then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihail, with Mordecai the Jew, who was actually her uncle, wrote with full authority to confirm the second letter about Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth to confirm these days of Purim at their appointed time as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed for them, and they had decreed for themselves and their descendants concerning matters of their fasting and lamenting. So the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. So you got to understand that something happened here. Now, the Jews just celebrated it. It was March 23rd and March 24th. And there was a full moon on the 25th, if you notice, this month. Remember, Adar is March. But it seemed like it's like a pre-celebration and a evidence thing of what's getting ready to happen. Now, you got to remember that the Jews were about to get annihilated. And that was a plan from this official. He was an emperor of the king, and he was coming against the Jews. And he hated the Jews. His purpose was to kill them all. But when Mordecai found out about his plan, his niece, Esther, he sent a letter and went before the king. Well, that meant his niece was a Jew also. So that decree would be killing her too. So the king was very upset of this plan and devious plan. So he took Haman and all of his sons and hung them instead. So the Jews were rescued that day. And that's what's getting ready to happen. Because God's exposing all the evil. And we're going to have redemption, reconciliation, and vengeance on our enemies here soon. God is going to do that. So again, this is the first feast, the first festival that has just passed. And then we're going to go into the other feasts of Passover, Feast of Unleavened, Feast of First Fruits. Then we go into Pentecost and so forth. But we're getting ready for all of these things to happen. Now, it's pretty amazing to me because, remember, the plan to destroy God's people backfired on the enemies. And that's what, isn't the plan to destroy God's people right now? It's going to backfire. Amen? So, again, it's pretty amazing to me that Passover actually is April 22nd. Think about this. That's the Jewish calendar. April 22nd is Passover. But we're getting ready to celebrate Easter this Sunday. Well, Easter doesn't come before Passover. So this is a manipulation. That's all it is. They're not really truly. But again, we don't celebrate the days. We celebrate the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So we know that Purim is a forerunner or celebration of things to come. Things that are going to change. The righteous judgment of God is going to begin to come forth. I'm going to share a couple of things here because it's important because we've been in a full moon. I don't know if you saw how big the full moon was. Amen. It's pretty wild. And so when we see full moon, these are signs. And things that are celebration with the feast, they're always signs. They always connect some way, one or another. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for what? Signs and seasons and for days and years. In other words, in this area of the firmament, it's known as a field of vision. In other words, God placed these things in a field of vision so your naked eye could see these things. And let them be lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was. God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And he set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw it, and it was good. So evening and morning were the fourth day. Again, the firmament is associated with the field of vision. Sign is a representation. Signs are always a representation of indirect prophetic messages. They are indirect. Why? Because they must be interpreted. Amen? They must be what? Interpreted. These are prophetic messages. Just like the 12 constellations. It's a story of Jesus. Amen? It's the gospel of Jesus. But it's got to be interpreted. Many people don't even know what the heck it is. Because it's an indirect sign, but it's still there. Even though it may not be interpreted correctly, but it needs to be interpreted. Psalm 19, first three verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his what? Handiwork. Why? Because you can see it. It's a field of vision. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. Now, think about this. What does that mean? The heavens have a voice. It's the voice of heaven. There is no speech nor language which their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the earth. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat or from his voice. The heavens, the signs of the heavens, it's the voice of heaven. Why? God speaks to us in multiple ways, doesn't he? In the book of Joel, chapter 2, in verse 10, it says that what? The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army. Who's the army? We are. For his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can endure it? Wow. Go to Psalm, or go to verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also on my men servants and maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and the great awesome day of the Lord. Now, this isn't going to all happen at one time. These are a process of things. And these things have been already happening. In fact, when he says, and after those days I will pour out. After what? After the first feast of Pentecost. Somebody get it? Has he been pouring out his spirit? Yeah. For it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the Lord in the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So we see that after Pentecost, signs in the firmament, fields of the field of vision, and the pouring out of his spirit shall be manifested. We will see these signs with our naked eye in the heavens, which we already have. Why? The heavens speak. Does everybody understand? Go to Matthew 16, verse 1. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and testing Jesus, asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky. Now, check this out. He says, look it, you know exactly the signs in the heavens, because they speak to you. You know these things. Does everybody get it? But you cannot discern the sign of the times. In other words, you're ignoring what's happening right now. And he says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. Well, the sign of the prophet of Jonah. We all know that it was 3 days in a fish's belly, right? Then he got spit up over in Nineveh. That's how we understand it today. But there was something more powerful about this sign that he was talking about. There was a sign in heaven. Jesus was telling him, look, you saw the sign in heaven. but I'm going to give you another sign. And the sign in heaven is so powerful because it was an eclipse. It was a what? Eclipse. A full solar eclipse. Now, go to Jonah chapter 3. We'll start at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. In other words, he was supposed to go there and speak, repent so the people can be saved. So Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Why? Because 40 days is associated with judgment. Does everybody get it? So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster they had said he was going to bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now, something happened very powerfully in this. Because the moment Jonah stepped in Nineveh, there was an earthquake. I mean, there was an eclipse. It was in 763 BC. It was a full solar eclipse. It was a message from God to them. See, they didn't freak out because Jonah came up and said, look it. They freaked out because they saw the eclipse. Because to them, it was always a message from God. It was a warning from God that judgment was coming. It was a full solar eclipse. So this full solar eclipse was a message to God, from God to the people. Look at, you got a short 40 days to repent or I'm destroying you. Does everybody get it? So when Jesus explained that he was going to give the sign of Jonah, for you and me, we look at it as 3 days in a belly or 3 days in hell and resurrection. But to the Jews, it wasn't that at all. They knew that the sign of Jonah was going to be a full eclipse. Does everybody get that? Matthew 27, verse 45. Now in the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was what? Darkness all over the land. It was a full solar eclipse. Does everybody get it? Remember, they knew the sign of Jonah. But Jesus was on the cross. And does everybody get it? So Jesus is dying on the cross, and there was a full solar eclipse. Why? Because it was the sign of Jonah. Many Jews then realized he was the Son of God. Once it all became dark, and it stayed dark. Oh, hallelujah. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? So some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. And immediately one of them ran over and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. And the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after the what? Resurrection. Amen. They went into the holy city and appeared to many Can you imagine that? Snap, you talk about probably the greatest revival that there was. Now, all these people that were raised from the dead, they were associated with Jesus' ministry while he was there. There weren't anybody before from the Old Testament or anything to that degree. These were all individuals that were ministered by Jesus, who accepted Jesus while he was there, that had died during that period of time. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom also was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Joas, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. So we see here it was a full eclipse. They knew judgment. Amen. Now, we have had, and everybody's heard of it, we had a full eclipse go across the United States in 2017. And it went through the whole country. And it went through seven cities that were named Salem, which means peace. Now, we'll have another earthquake, or another full solar eclipse coming again that will cross over the country. And it's coming across seven cities called Nineveh. I mean, so there's no coincidence in this sign. Why? It's the sign of what? Jonah. What is it? Eclipses. Now, there's no coincidence that in between these two eclipses is 6 years, 6 months, 6 weeks, and 6 days from each other. Hallelujah. Now, on this, as a matter of fact, on the same day, the Tower of Babel fell. Now, think about that for a second. It was on a Pentecost. So anyways, we are seeing this sign coming across right now. Next month, on the 8th, will be another full eclipse for this country. The sign of Jonah. And they weren't slap fishing. Man, if you haven't seen the VeggieTales Jonah flick, you gotta. It's the best. Matthew 18:18. Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of it." Remember, two is always associated with witness. That's why Jesus used to send them out two by two. Amen. To agree. Go to Exodus 4 and verse 6. "Furthermore, the Lord said to Moses, put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. And he said, put your hand in your bosom again. So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom. And behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the what? Latter sign." Wow. "And if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land." That's judgment. Does everybody get it? Judgment. Two signs. We have two eclipses, full solar eclipses. This doesn't happen all the time, does it? No. Go to Isaiah 60. First three verses. was to say, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Is that a full eclipse? Yeah. And deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light. In other words, your truth, and the kings in brightness of your shining. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar. Your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to us. Why? Many people are going to freak out. There's going to be a lot of things. There's so much more to this, but I just wanted to give a brief description and a brief indirect message so it can come direct, that we can get prepared for what's getting ready to happen. In other words, we are entering a holy shift. Amen. We are entering God's reset. He's the one that's going to be resetting everything. The world's never going to be the same. And I'm going to close in Romans 1. If you notice, the enemy is doing everything he can right now, globally. We've got false flags everywhere. We've got wars and rumors of wars. There's been a lot of good busts going on, you know. They've been busting a lot of human traffickers. Again, things are being exposed. There are things that are happening that we just don't see. Or we don't hear about. Nobody will promote it, you know. But I can tell you right now that all the media and all those individuals that have been promoting the lies, their knees are shaking. Why? Because they're going to be charged with treason. These judges and these ones that are in New York that are coming against Trump and all the stuff that this guy's had to go, these people are going to be charged with treason, interfering with an election, crimes against humanity. They will be charged with treason. If they haven't, many of them have been arrested already. And many of them have been executed already. But we might not hear about that. But it's happening already. Globally. Amen. In verse 18, let's speak it. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without, what, excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Men with men, that's homosexuals, committing what is shameful, even receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due, which is death. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. So he let them run. Letting the course run. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Sounds like the whole world, man, except for the righteous. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, they know the righteous judgment of God. That those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So those who approve of them practicing that, that's what people are voting for. It's amazing to me how many people are, they're behind the pulpit and they're promoting gay marriage and all the other stuff. And they're allowing the switch hitters to come in all dressed up like gorillas and whatever they are. I mean, they look goofy as can be. Some of them eyelashes 14 feet long. You know, I think they drive those cars with the headlights with the eyelashes on them, you know. They got curb feelers too, you know. But anyways, the schools are allowing this to happen. Because they're trying to please the devil, and they don't even know it. But those that approve of it, those that vote for individuals that promote these things, presidents, congressmen, individuals that hold seats and positions of authority, anybody that knows that these individuals promote such things and they vote for them, they'll be charged the same thing as them. It's a how many, it baffles me, and how many people that call themselves Christians and they vote for someone that promotes abortion, promotes same-sex gay rights and all the other stuff. You know, the rainbow thing, whatever, you know. Those are all, most of them are switch hitters. Again, time is running out. We're about to see a lot of things begin to happen here shortly. And we've been saying that for a while, but it's escalating. Time is not only running out, but things are moving faster. Faster. So we got to get ready. We want to be prepared. We're not going to freak out. The world's going to freak out. Many people are going to freak out when it... Huh? I mean, they've heard about the eclipse. But they don't want to understand what's happening. Amen? We don't know what's going to happen. Heck, there could be a complete failure in the electrical grid. Something tremendous is going to happen that's going to wake the world. And it's not going to be Jesus' return yet, but it's going to be his vengeance. It's going to be his judgment. It won't be his wrath. It's not time for that. But the body of Christ is going to be glorified. God's children, his body will be glorified because he's the head. Amen. Praise God. Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for preparation for what's getting ready to happen. We thank you for the sign of Jonah. And we thank you that we are able to celebrate the feast of you, because only you can fulfill them. So, Lord, we know you're getting ready to fulfill the next feast. And that's the feast where the rapture takes place. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We wait for that day, Papa. But in the meantime, we got work to do. So keep us filled, dressed, and possessed for your glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.